Get ready for Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Listen in as Doug and Aaron provide helpful tips on how to get ready. Ready or not, here comes Ready Radio.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Ready Radio. This morning, we're going to talk a little bit about human nature. I think that that would be a good way to cast this show.
Human nature,
human
really?
Nature. Yeah. I mean, the what I'm looking at here, and this was brought up by a listener question this last week, is, you know, when we look back at, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, coming disasters, you know, short-term disasters like hurricanes or tornadoes to long-term disasters like an EMP or even, you know, something catastrophic like nuclear war or possibility of some sort of long-term disaster or a plague. And that's what kicked off the Dark Ages, really, was the bubonic plague and the depopulation of Europe following, you know, that pandemic. And with Ebola kicking around and the new flu virus that's out west that's causing children to have polio symptoms and all of these other viruses, one of the questions that was brought up to me was, well, what happens when, you know, will we have another Dark Ages? Will we go to a point where people are, you know, really mystified by scientific things and have lost their knowledge? And this is a common theme in a lot of post-apocalyptic, you know, fiction, is that after the first generation, if there's no, you know, modern electricity, if there's no modern appliances, do people kind of dumb down over time?
I believe they're dumbing down because of the appliances. I mean, you see these kids walking down the street with their iPhones, and I swear the zombie apocalypse has already started.
And that's a great point. But we've entered into the information age, and that, you know, having your iPhone in your hand so you can look up, you know, the news instantly or look up any information you want is changing the way that people work. I mean, our brains, we used to try to drill information into people so that they would have it at their fingertips. Now every piece of information in the entire world is at your fingertips. So your mind is becoming more and more attuned to, instead of remembering the information, remembering how to find it, you know, knowing what keywords you have to type in to get the news article story that you want to talk about is much more important these days than actually remembering the facts. So people are changing, and you're right. But what happens when all that's taken away? What happens when you no longer have every bit of information at your fingertips?
Well, I guess everyone who's using their iPhone to remember every phone number won't really matter, because there won't be any phones to call anyone on anyway.
Right. And, you know, if you're keeping your soap recipes on, you know, you look them up every single time. If you have to look up your cheese recipe every time, if you have to look up your meatloaf recipe every single time, if you have to look up your bread recipe every time online, then, you know, when you get to that point, are you going to be completely SOL? I mean, are you going to be at a point where there's no, you know, you don't have that information, or you're going to be reverting back to books? Or what if the books, you know, you get to a point where the books are gone?
It depends on who you are, because if you're like me, you can just remember it and go on.
Yeah, if you have a great memory, that's fine. Or if you, you know, commit it to memory.
Or if you've done it a million times, because some people, practice makes perfect for them, and they just make their bread and make their bread and make their bread, and then eventually they don't need the recipe. The recipe book may still be laying on the counter, but they don't end up opening it up and looking at the bread recipe. And that's probably how you are when you're baking your bread, right?
Right. I don't actually use a recipe at all. I just remember the basic tenets of what needs to be done. And then, you know, you can kind of, your bread will talk to you. And that's, bread is a good example, because bread becomes more of an apprenticeship than really what you can learn out of a book or from a recipe.
Doug's bread talks to him, guys.
That's what happens, is, you know, as you go through, you know, the various iterations of making this, you bring somebody in, you teach them how to do it. Mm-hmm. And then the knowledge becomes passed down generationally, and then you get, you know, some breads are inherently different because recipes changed and evolved. And
well, this is how the best biscuits come around. You don't get the best biscuits out of a recipe in a book. I mean, Better Homes and Gardens recipe for biscuits is pretty bad. But grandma's recipe that they've passed down for generations, and you stand beside grandma and you go, oh, I want to learn how to make biscuits. And she shows you how. Those are the best biscuits.
And that's the way it is with lots of things. So here we are, we're talking about how, you know, people learn to you know, their trades is from being handed down father to son, mother to daughter, generation to generation, and you learn how to do things. And so some knowledge passes real well that way. Other knowledge does not. You know, how many miles is the sun away from the earth? things like that.
Far away.
You know, it doesn't, even when you have great minds who deal with that kind of information, it doesn't transmute well to being passed down generationally without having some form of really, you know, in-depth instruction in the topic.
Well, the problem here is you can say, well, the sun is 14.6 billion miles from Earth or whatever it is. I have no idea. But if somebody doesn't have the understanding of what a mile is, that's like saying Farsi, as far as you can see in one direction, you know? I mean, seriously.
Well, back in ancient Greece, when they were using geometry and trigonometry to figure out the distances between things, they had no idea how far the sun was away from the Earth, but they could calculate how far everything was away from the sun. And so the distance from the Earth to the sun actually became a unit. It was called an AU, an astronomical unit. The distance from the Earth to the sun. And mm-hmm. you can calculate how far Jupiter is from Earth if you know how far the Earth is from the sun. And they couldn't figure out the number of miles in between or whatever unit of measure they wanted. But they knew that that was a unit. So they used that as the basis of their geometric calculations to figure out how far everything else was. And so all this knowledge is out there. But when there's a calamity or a disaster, people seem to kind of like revert and knowledge is lost.
They did this during the Renaissance era, didn't they?
Just the Renaissance was the rebirth of knowledge following the Dark Ages. And before the Dark Ages, there was the Roman Empire, which was the bastion of technology. And the Romans were very advanced in the civilization. They built roads that lasted for thousands of years. They had perfected aqueducts that brought water to massed megacities. And you know, all of the commerce and trade that they had developed, and you know, the fundamental underpinnings of a society, they had everything going for them. But when Rome fell away, then the plague hit, all of that was lost, and people were, you know, cowering in their villages afraid of dragons.
And by the plague, you mean the bubonic plague?
Yeah. Black Death that hit Europe in the 1300s. You know, that was, you know, after the fall of the Roman Empire, but before the Renaissance. And that really drove people back into a period of time where they were not scientifically advanced. And then you get to the Renaissance period and you've got people who are pushing against the Roman Catholic Church and their stranglehold on thought. And the you've got, you know, Galileo saying the world is round and using telescopes and postulating that the Earth is not the center of the universe. And this was heresy and there was a huge fight over it.
They were ready to skin him.
Mm-hmm. Well, they actually made him recant and then locked him in his home up until he died. I mean, it was really travesty the way that thought.
We don't agree with you, so you stay in your house forever.
Pretty much, yeah.
I wonder if he had, like, food and water stored up.
Yeah, well, I think he had friends who were still bringing him supplies.
Thank goodness for friends.
Yeah, but, you know, we're talking about the way the human mind works, and when there's a huge disaster, people tend to lose, you know, their knowledge. And when knowledge was, you know, recorded in giant libraries, at least it was going to be there. Most of our knowledge today is not accessible if the power goes out.
Right.
And it's going to be compartmentalized. You know, there will be few and far between. I mean, you can't find very many people who know how to work a nuclear reactor.
And if you've ever seen the movie The Day After Tomorrow, was it called The Day After Tomorrow? Where the first thing they did when this huge snowstorm hit was
burned
the books.
And they're arguing over the Gutenberg Bible or the other. And then he's like, dude, there's a billion copies of Tax Code over here. Let's burn that first.
Right. Well, seriously, let's... Hey, the law library. No, I'm kidding.
You know, the law libraries are expansive, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Never been in one until I had the adventure of going in with an attorney friend of mine. Wow. But, you know, they burnt the books. And I'm thinking, really? You couldn't find anything better to burn than the books? I mean, there's toilet paper galore.
Well, you know, if you got to choose between the tax code and toilet paper, I might save the toilet paper.
You can wipe your butt with the tax code and then burn.
Not as comfortably as with Charmin. Tax code is very scratchy stuff.
I think it would be pretty fun to wipe your butt with the tax code, then burn it.
Okay. Well, there's our little bit of political dissidence for the week, folks. But, you know, we're talking about the way that people change. And I think that if we had a major, not just, you know, a year or a 5 year or 10 year disaster, but a major calamity, something that was earth changing, I think that the way that we store knowledge now is indicative of the probability of a coming dark era. And this is when we're not going to have access to the information we used to. The books are just not as prevalent as they used to be.
And so people are going to be even dumber than they are now, which is a scary concept.
Yeah, for sure. And people are rather gullible creatures. I mean, from the legal aspect, I know that we hear time and time again, people are taken in by scams, all sorts of things. There's one floating around Fulton County right now where people are being called up and they're like, hello? And the person on the other end says, I'm with the Fulton County Sheriff's Department and you've got an active warrant for missing jury duty, which... They were never on jury duty, and they don't do that anyway. And if you want to get this warrant cleared up, then we can just pay a fine over the phone and give me your credit card number. And lo and behold, they're having to do this huge investigation because people are giving out their credit card numbers for the tunes of $25,000 and $30,000 to pay these fines for missing jury duty that they weren't even on.
You can get people to give you their credit card number or the phone?
It's really scary what people will do.
No kidding. Do not ever give out any information over the phone to anyone. I don't care who they are or who they say they are. If you called them and it's your medical insurance company and you're trying to pay your payment over the phone, that's great. But if someone calls you and asks you for your credit card number, no.
It doesn't take a lot. Folks, we're coming up on a commercial break. We'll be back in just a minute to continue our discussion about the coming dark era and how to be more prepared. You're listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now back to Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron.
Welcome back, folks. This week we're talking about human nature and the way that people unfortunately seem to lose sight of the bigger picture and to have a period in human history we're talking about the Dark Ages, how they can just kind of lose their perspective and lose their way.
You know, as I was doing research for this show, I came upon an article about the Middle Ages and all the things that people thought were cures for the bubonic plague.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, aromatherapy, all right, I can kind of see that. But one of the cures was living in the sewer.
There you go.
So everybody became Ninja Turtles.
And lived with the rats that had the fleas that carried the plague.
Right, or leeches. They were having leeches suck them. Eat a spoon of crushed emeralds.
That's expensive.
It's the richest poo you'll ever have, right? I don't know. You drink some of that Goldschlager, you might have a rich poo as well because it's got little gold pieces in it. Have you ever seen this? It's
no.
Liquor and it's got gold flake in it. Wash yourself with urine.
Wow.
Wow, right?
Yeah. There's some people who seem to have a cult about urine, I'm telling you.
Oh, it gets worse.
Okay.
These were cures for the bubonic plague, okay? Smear yourself with human poop.
Well, you know, no.
Rub your wounds with a live chicken. Poor chicken.
Yeah.
That was one funky chicken.
There you go.
And then, wow. I'm not even going to read the last one.
Well, you know, we're sitting here talking about...
Did Hitler have the bubonic plague?
People would, you know, try anything to get better, but it went a lot deeper than that because I took a class back when I was in college. It was called Frauds in Earth's History. And when people would come across fossils, they were trying to figure out what these things were. And it didn't fit in with their worldview. I mean, the Roman Catholic Church said that God would never allow one of his creations to go extinct. So what are these bones that they're finding? And, you know, the explanations were given everything that the devil had created them to try to mislead people to that. And this was my favorite. This was the prevailing scientific theory of what fossils were. It was the attempt of the earth to become flesh.
It was the attempt of the earth to become flesh. Now, who said this? Like, which pope? Right?
This was prevailing scientific theory in the late 1300s.
It was the Hoaxosaurus.
There you go. So, I mean, you're looking at what people try to figure out and the way that they come to their knowledge, and it's kind of scary. And we can look back and laugh, and we say, okay, you know, yeah, way back, you know, 800-900 years ago, yeah, people were dumber. We're not like that today. We have iPhones, and we can do all sorts of things, and all of us are smart. But the truth is that that's not the case, and people are still gullible today, and you can feed them a certain story, and they'll buy it.
Well, I hate to do this to my sister, but I'm going to tell a story.
All right.
My sister and I used to have the most fun. Well, I had fun at her expense, rather, playing jokes on her and getting her riled up. And she's, my sister's a little gullible. And I found this link one time online to a fake BBC article about a zombie apocalypse in Africa, and it was being transmitted by mosquitoes. And if it was April Fool's Day, and it was dated for April 1st, and you'd think she'd have caught on, but no, she forwarded it to the whole family. And the next thing you knew, she was trying to tell everybody to buy insect repellent. So,
those April Fool's jokes get out of hand. 2 years ago, I was up in Alaska, and the April Fool's joke was that they were going to open a Taco Bell in the city of Bethel. And it caused such an uproar that Taco Bell had to fly tacos in from Anchorage to satiate the people to keep them from rioting when they found out there wasn't a Taco Bell coming. It would have been the first fast food place in the entire city.
Where in Anchorage?
Bethel.
Bethel. Where's Bethel?
Bethel is kind of northwest of Anchorage. It's on the Yukon River Delta. It's north of the Bristol Bay area.
So they had to fly in tacos?
Yeah.
I wonder how they kept them warm.
They just heated them up when they got there.
Poor Bethelans.
But they were really excited to get tacos.
I bet they were.
When I lived in Dillingham, they would fly in food from Anchorage for the Beaver Roundup Festival, and usually it was KFC. They'd fly in KFC and then reheat
it. Chicken.
Yeah.
Man, if they could fly in some Chick-fil-A, those people would have been happy, happy.
Happy, happy, happy.
Yes.
That's a Southern thing.
It is.
So, you know, we're talking about how people can be, you know, misled or can be kind of gullible. And what comes to my mind are a couple of stories out of the North Korea news agency over the last couple of years, which
have
are just...
Have you seen this?
Oh, they're fantastic.
Aren't they?
The one that I like the most is the story of their astronaut. In order to take the lead in the space race, North Korea published an article to all of their citizens and their news agency that applauding.
They have gone to the sun.
Yeah, forget the moon, folks. North Korea has been to the sun.
To the sun, and they did this win.
Well, they in order to keep the astronaut from being burnt up alive, because we all know the sun is incredibly hot, he went at night.
What a novel idea.
I mean, because that would solve it, right? You take off, you don't have to worry about getting sunburnt if you go at night.
All I can say to this is, wow.
And he made the trip all the way to the sun in 4 hours and returned before sunrise so he wouldn't get burnt. And while he was on the surface of the sun, he collected some samples of sunspots.
Yeah, I read this.
Forget moon rocks. We got sunspots.
Sunspots. And he brought it back to the Korean leader, apparently, yes. In the article. And I'm reading this article and shaking my head. And, you know, you do the shaking your head and face palm thing at the same time. Yeah.
This is a double face palm.
It is a double face palm. In fact, no, I don't think I have enough palms to put over my face to be equivalent to what this deserves. But, you know, these people will believe this now.
Well,
you know, the
you
Korean
know,
people.
That's kind of the, you know, the, I don't know. There's part of me that wants to say, they aren't going to buy this. But then, you know, you look back and people in Europe in the 1300s believed in dragons.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. You know, it could very well be that there are people there who, you know, this is what they're being told.
I've always wondered if they found some of those fossils, dinosaur fossils, if somebody was digging and found these fossils and was like, look at this. And the only explanation they could come up with at that time was a dragon.
Well, it's kind of interesting because dragons are cross-culture. They appear in cultures all the way that don't have any connection with each other. So there's something about the human mind that is drawn to the idea of a flying lizard that breathes fire. And those are the common thread throughout all of humanity that they believe in this.
The same thing with Bigfoot.
Bigfoot's
very cross-cultural. And people who have never had any connection, well, I mean, up until the day of information where we've all seemed to become very connected since the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But before then, everybody believed in Bigfoot, Yeti. They had all different kinds of names for him.
Yowie in Australia.
Right. And there was one in Russia that my sister posted a link on Facebook this morning about one in Russia. And she said, you know, it's odd. She made the comment, it's odd how there's one of these in every civilization.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody can ever find them. But we all have the same idea of this big furry thing roaming around the woods. And which TV show was Destination Truth, I believe, where they were looking for the Yeti in Asia?
Mm-hmm.
And they found, hair that couldn't be identified with DNA.
Right.
And it was long. It was long and kind of whitish blonde.
Yeah. You know, we talk about these things, but it's kind of a part of our collective subconscious. I mean, there are dragons and Bigfoot, and there are certain things that humanity as a whole believe in. And I don't know why. I don't know why it's appealing to us. I don't know why that, you know, these things stick out, but they are really. And the other thing that is cross-cultural is shapeshifters. You find people in every Native American, you know, Native Aboriginal cultures all the way across. You find paintings, you know, cave paintings going back 10,000 BC of people who believe in humans transmogrifying into animals. You know, our werewolf myths and Dracula turning into a bat. And there's always an animal connection where a human being can turn into being an animal. And these are things that are just inherent to human nature.
Back in January, I found this article, and it was, I can't remember what website it's on now. I'm finding it on Huffington Post today, which is not really all that credible. But I found it in a more credible news source.
The Huffington Post?
But apparently, this man in Michigan, and I can't remember his name. It may be in here. But anyway, he's 52 years old, and he says, he calls law enforcement and asks for assistance because he says that he has a Bigfoot on his property who's allegedly been wandering around and eating his pizza, shape-shifting, and defecating, right?
Wow.
So I'm thinking, is this the kind of ignorance we get in the Dark Ages, you know, equivalent to these people in North Korea that believe that their astronaut went to the sun?
She's a witch. How do you know? Well, she turned me into a newt. A newt? I got better.
Right? Wow. And, well, she's a witch. How do we know? Well, we tie her to a stick, and if she drowns, she's not a witch.
That's a great plan right there. I can think of a lot of people who need some witch testing. So, anyway, well, folks, I hear the music getting started. Time is flying today. But when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about sunshine and rainbows and unicorns. You are listening to Ready Radio this week on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now back to Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Ready Radio, and this week we're talking a little bit about the Dark Ages and human nature and the way the human psyche works. And when we left off, I had kind of teased that we were going to talk about sunshine and rainbows and unicorns.
And not the unicorn lair.
The unicorn lair.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Jess.
Okay. So, again, our wonderful folks in North Korea, their state news has reported that they found a unicorn lair. And believe it or not, folks, guess what the sign says on the outside of the unicorn lair?
I'm guessing. Let me take a shot at this. All right,
drum
Aaron,
roll, please.
Aaron, it is unicorn lair.
Wow, right? So the unicorns labeled their lair with unicorn lair. So basically,
you know, this would make hunting for Bigfoot so much easier if you would just put out signs that said
Bigfoot's
Bigfoot this
house,
way.
Right.
Yeah.
That would make it a lot easier.
You know, there was an episode of Futurama where they were talking about Bigfoot, and Fry said, well, why don't we just put out lots of cameras all over everywhere, and then we can get a picture of Bigfoot and know where he is. And the park ranger said, well, cameras are expensive, and people who believe in Bigfoot are generally poor.
He's got a valid point. He's got a valid point.
So the unicorn lair.
The unicorn lair. These people believe that there's a lair of unicorns, and it's been there for, like, what, 100 years or so?
Oh, much longer than that. It was like the 13th century that the king of Pyongyang was
riding
a unicorn.
Right. And this is where his unicorn lived. And apparently there's a, I get this, like, whole My Little Pony idea in my head. Remember the My Little Pony toys
yes.
from the 80s? Yeah. Like My Little Ponies living in this little cave.
You know, I get that, and I totally see that in my head, but I also imagine them like breathing fire and skewering people with their horns because, you know, when the word lair in my mind has this like evil connotations. So you've got these unicorns, but they're not like nice unicorns. They're evil unicorns that live in a lair.
It totally takes you to Austin Powers and Dr. Evil and his secret lair.
Well, Kim Jong-un has a secret lair of unicorns, And with a sign that says Unicorn Lair. And the news media there is reporting how the archaeologists found this wonderful historic site. And now there's proof of the unicorns that the old dynastic rulers of North Korea would ride.
Now, are there still living unicorns? Or are they all like fossilized unicorns now?
What I've read was just that they found the fossilized remains and the lair, which says Unicorn Lair.
Right. Okay. So this would give me an excuse to send unicorn poop cookies over to Korea. Yeah.
I would be careful what you send to Korea because, one, you're going to get the State Department's attention focused on us a lot more than we want. Two, they get really testy over things like that. There's a movie that's coming out that's starring, I think it's Seth Rogen, and they're talking about how they got an interview. The premise of the movie is that they got an interview with Kim Jong-un, and they were flying over there to see him, and then they were put up by the CIA to assassinate him when they got there. And the movie is going to be coming out soon. And there was a formal protest issued by the North Korean embassy that said that if the movie is released, that it will be an act of war.
It's not an act of war, North Korea. I mean, we're going to make fun of you with your unicorn lair and your sunspots.
Well, I'm. What if they unleashed the sunspots on us that they brought back? I mean, those things are hot.
We better go get some tanning oil.
They might ride unicorn cavalry across the ocean to kick us our rear ends.
Well, I'm going to say that's probably not that big of an issue. Just saying.
It's a big issue to me. I'm afraid of the unicorn cavalry.
The unicorn cavalry. Is this like the Canadian Navy?
Kind of.
They're in like blow up boats.
Well, you know, you joke, but Canada actually has a pretty good Navy, and when it comes to ice breaking, they beat us hands down. We have to resort to using their icebreakers to get our ships around in the Arctic.
It's Mounties in paddle boats, I swear.
Okay. Well, you know, it's fun, and it's really fun to talk about, you know, the unicorn lair and the sunspot mission and all of these things, and people who believe that the fossils were the Earth trying to become living things. But it gives us an overview of the way people work, especially in
crisis.
The
Earth is flat, you know. They believe the Earth was flat. So we're going to look at this from a standpoint
of... Well, if you were in Iowa, it kind of is.
Have you ever been to Illinois?
I've been to Illinois.
The land in some parts of Illinois is so flat you can watch a dog run away for a month.
And I hate Illinois Nazis.
I hate Illinois. Illinois Nazis.
Blues Brothers reference.
Oh. That was here. I was completely imagining some really, really scary Amish people.
Well, there actually is a reason for that reference. When the Blues Brothers movie came out, there were Nazis who were marching in Skokie, Illinois, which is a town made up of a lot of Holocaust survivors, and it was a big deal, and it went to the Supreme Court, and there was a lot of controversy at the time, and that bred into the movie the line, "I hate Illinois Nazis." So...
Gotcha.
But, you know, there's whole freedom of speech issues aside, we're looking at the way people interact with each other, particularly in crisis. And I think that we are in real danger with the way that our information is stored now, being primarily online, with the way that our memories are changing from actually remembering dates and facts and figures to these kind of broad concepts that you use to look up things online, that if we had a major calamity, that you would see a real reversion of the human ability to function.
Well, I'm saying, take away the internet for a minute. I want you to tell me, how many kids do you know that you take into a library and show them an old-fashioned card catalog and they'd be able to find the book they were looking for?
How many libraries have an old-fashioned card catalog to show off anymore?
Probably not any. I mean, a lot of the libraries have sold off those card catalogs and collector and trading card stores are using them to store the cards in.
Yeah. And, you know, they don't update them. Even if they had one still sitting there, they're not constantly updating because you can just scan the ICBN off the back of the book with a reader and then put it into your database.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
Yeah, and people don't know. People don't know how to use a Dewey Decimal System. People don't remember anything. Everything is, you know, instantly available on your phone that you're networked in. We're becoming the Borg.
The Borg.
I mean, we're no... The sense of individuality...
the separation of us and our machines... Is scary. There's none. There's no separation of us and our machines. I mean, you see the kids again walking down the road on their iPhones and their Android phones and they're texting and there's no attention to the curb, the sidewalk, the cars.
There are scientists right now who are working to bridge the machine body gap. I mean, I remember reading an article not too long ago about a scientist who had invented an interface that allowed him to manipulate a hand in a simulated computer environment using his actual thoughts. He would think about moving an arm, and then the electronic impulses would be picked up from the nerve endings, and it would translate into the virtual environment.
Now, how awesome would this be for an amputee?
Well, there are always, you know, great things that can be done, but every technology...
It's also really scary things that can be done.
Technology is value neutral. It's just is, but it's how you use it. And there will always be people who find negative uses for anything you can do. I remember having an argument with one of my friends back in high school, and I said, you know, they had a thing about encompassing statements. So I said, anything can be used for evil. And they're like, oh yeah, well, what about the Bible? I was like, yeah, are you kidding? That's about the easiest one.
The Bible's been used for evil a lot.
That's about the easiest one.
I mean, let's look at the Crusades.
No one suspects the Spanish Inquisition, I'm telling you.
The Spanish Inquisition was awful. And Spanish Inquisition was where they burned a bunch of people at the stake, wasn't it? Because they weren't
pushing. That and Iron Maidens and drowning and... You know.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And it's like, you don't believe what we believe, then you shall die.
In the name of the cross. It's scary stuff, what people are capable of. Again, we're going back to, you know, psyche and human nature, and particularly in crisis. You know, people pull together into, you know, groups that where they feel that they have some sense of security and protection, and that leads to micro-governments, which in the end are corrupt, and then you're forcing your belief system on another, you know, person. And
see, now I'm going to have to go Walking Dead and make a reference to the prison and the governor.
Mm-hmm.
And the governor was corrupt. He was bad. And so this is the kind of thing you can expect if the society collapses and you end up with a governor.
I mean, a strong person people can rally
behind.
Type
A personality guy that's a little bit charismatic. This would be Doug.
Hardly. And then you've got to maintain security and order, which leads to making hard choices, and those hard choices leads to the infringement of individual liberties.
It can also lead to handing the wrong person a firearm and everybody being dead but that crazy person. You know, you never know what could happen.
Yeah. And we're dealing with some really, you know, weighty topics here in the guise of these, you know, silly stories out of North Korea. But when the world ends, when there isn't, and, you know, we'd like to think that we're always going to be moving forward like Star Trek, but the truth is that human society has always been cyclical, and there's points of huge growth and expansion followed by a dark period. And
right.
That's happened over and over and over in human society, and it will happen again. I don't know if our listeners had ever read the Foundation series by Isaac Asimov, but there's a character in there called Harry Seldon who had predicted that that's the way human beings do, is that they, you know, there's a great empire and then it's followed by a dark ages, and he had like crafted the principle. You know, idea, the storyline of these books is that this guy had come up with a mathematical sequence to figure out what was going to happen and be able to make the, you know, corrections to shorten the dark period as much as possible. And you know, there you go through the series of books and there's all these, you know, things that happen, and it like accelerates them through human history from the fall of the Roman Empire until now. And then, and what people did, the beginning of trade unions and the beginning of the feudal system and the beginning of, you know, everything that you had to do to move society as quickly through the dark ages as possible. And I see that, you know, something that we can aspire to. Folks, we're running over time. We will be back in just a second. You're listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the Talk of the Town.
And now back to Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to Ready Radio right here on News Talk 1160, the Talk of the Town. This week we've been talking about the idea of a dark age and what you can do to be more prepared and with information. And this is, you know, it's kind of scary because we've talked about these stories out of North Korea that apparently the North Koreans buy into, which are ludicrous. We've talked about some things from, you know, European history that are just absolutely off the wall. The idea that, you know, the earth is mimicking animals, or that, you know, rubbing human defecation on yourself.
Fecal matter on yourself would cure a bubonic plague. Yeah.
Scary stuff, the way that, you know, the human mind works. But when you're desperate, you'll seize on anything.
It makes you wonder how many people came down with typhoid from that.
For sure. And, you know, another thing that I'm reading Tom Sawyer to my children right now, and that's their
bedtime
story. You
always read them the best books.
I try to do classics because I think that it helps expand their minds and gets them, you know, better prepared for, you know, what they're
for college. What are they, 6 and 3?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we're working through Tom Sawyer. We've read... one of my favorites was A Princess of Mars. I think that was a great, you know, bedtime story for the kids. There was Swiss Family Robinson, Wind in the Willows, Treasure Island. We've worked through a lot of classical literature for them. But we're doing Tom Sawyer right now. And one of the jokes in that book is all of the little things that the kids do thinking that it will cure a wart. You know, like you got to get a dead cat and say an incantation and then throw the cat and the dead cat will pull the wart after it if you do it at midnight in a graveyard. And that's how they ended up seeing that Injun Joe had killed the doctor instead of Muff Potter. But, you know, things like that. They had all these little rituals and incantations and things that they would do.
Trying to get rid of a wart.
Trying to get rid of a wart or trying to bring good luck or trying to, whatever, you know, saying a blood oath so that they'd drop dead if they ever told what happened. Things like that, that they really believed in. And, you know, as an adult, you read this and you're like, my goodness, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. Why would you even think that would work? But it's not that far off from what we're talking about with unicorn lairs or you know, living in a sewer to cure a disease.
Well, I mean, and kids get a lot of odd ideas anyway, because I remember one Easter, my little girl, my oldest, put milk in an egg carton trying to make her own eggs. Yeah. Kids get odd ideas.
Yeah, kids they have such a vivid imaginations and they get so involved, and it's one of the wonders of childhood. You know, there's a Christian tradition, there's a verse in the Bible that talks about you have to be like little children, and I see that in my kids. I see the sense of wonder and acceptance of things that mm-hmm. is really refreshing for my soul.
But you have really good kids anyway.
Yeah, I'm very proud of them. They are good kids. So, you know, we talk about how can you be better prepared for something like this? Well, the first step is to get offline. I mean, get books and get knowledge that's intrinsic to you and teach your kids. Start to pass down things that are more than just how to bake bread. You know,
stop it with the takeout food and start cooking at home.
There you go.
Your kids need to know how to cook. And this is very, I'm going to direct this at the women that listen. It's really a mother's job to teach her kids how to cook and sew. And the fact that there's so few women in my generation that know how to sew is sad and amazing to me at the same time.
And there are times when you don't feel like it. You know, you're tired, you're sore, you're hurt, and you don't want to stand there and cook a meal, but you do it anyway because you love your family.
Well, our listeners don't know this, but I've been suffering with a sore ankle since July. And I still managed to hem pants the other night for somebody that needed some pants hemmed. And, you know, I've tore some ligaments in my leg, and it's been really painful, and it's very painful right now. But, you know, there's really no excuses. When things have to be done, they have to be done. And in the apocalypse, are we going to be like, well, I've got cramps today, you know? I mean, seriously. We're going to be like, oh, okay, there's a zombie after us. Which is worse, cramps or being eaten? I'll take the cramps any day. Let's run. You know, I'm just being honest.
Yeah,
blame me for my honesty.
Well, you know, and the family doesn't end just because somebody's not feeling well. I know every mother and every father out there have had the times when they've been sick and the kids are sick. And, you know, the kids are throwing up and you're up there cleaning and doing everything, even though you're dead on your feet.
Because and you feel like you're going to throw up. Because you're sick to your stomach too, and you've got the exact same thing they've got, but you still clean it up. And it, you know, the same thing goes with, yes, we're busy, we're working. We work 40 hours a week, we come home and we have to wash laundry and feed our children. But the kids need to know how to plant their own garden and how to be self-sustaining. Because they're not going to be able to survive in what's coming unless you teach them these things.
The gardening, the sewing, the cooking, those are what I consider to be, you know, basic self-sustaining information that everyone has to have. But I want to encourage people to go further, because if we don't want to slide into a dark age, if we want to be more,
some information.
You've got to teach the kids things that are bigger than just them and bigger than just surviving tomorrow. You need to talk to them about physics. You need to talk to them about astronomy. You need to talk to them about biology.
Fahrenheit 451.
Yes.
Remember that book?
Yes.
Fahrenheit 451, the books were banned by the government. They were burning all the books. And there were police that were to gather up anyone
firemen.
Who had books.
Firemen.
They were firemen. But they were like law enforcement
yeah.
there. They were called firemen because they burned everything they caught their hands on.
Yeah.
And they were hunting down anyone who had books and taking the books and burned them. And they put the people to death that had the books, didn't they, in the book?
Yep.
And what they had was this group of people who had gone off away from society and memorized all the books. And they were the keys to the future. They were the King James Version of the Bible. One gentleman had memorized the entire Bible. I'm not saying we should all memorize the entire Bible, but maybe have some of these books on hand. Because, the book was about censorship. I don't see the world coming to a point where we're burning all of our books.
Well, you know, you say that, but then you get a charismatic leader who doesn't want people to have knowledge. And next thing you know that, it's happened in our own lifetimes.
Yeah, Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, or going back a generation before Hitler and the big book burnings. I mean, the control of knowledge is control of power. And if you can invest that knowledge in your children, if you can teach them religion and politics and science, if you can teach this and have it ingrained in them from an early age so that they understand and they feel the power of that, that's going to serve them far better than anything that they're going to amuse themselves with. We're coming up on the end of the show, and I really want to hit the True Prep product of the week real quick.
Yeah.
One of the products that they carry there, which I think is kind of an interesting and tangential to our discussion, are notepads that are waterproof.
So waterproof notebook.
You can keep notes even in the rain, even in the field when you're moving around. And this is great for field craft. You know, remember where, you know, how many paces you are to this cache or to that, you know, trap that you had set. But it's also good just for the idea of keeping a journal, which is something that is really lost. And if there was a really horrible disaster, I think one way that we could really serve future generations and ourselves would be to keep a journal during our movements and what's going on. And a lot of people are going to revert to just trying to survive. But if you could keep a journal and keep a running record of what you've done, that's really, you know, what makes humans transcendent from animals.
And that would become the new history.
Exactly. Now, folks, you know, we really enjoy hearing from all of our listeners, and there's a variety of ways that you can reach out to us and talk to us every week. This topic came from an email we had received at readyradio.net, and you can email either one of us at aaron@readyradio.net, that's E-R-I-N, or doug@readyradio.net. If you have any basic general questions or questions about the website, you can email info@readyradio.net, of course. That goes to our webmaster, and we get those comments, too, from time to time. You can go to our website at readyradio.net and get all of our old shows. They're all archived there. We also have a live Twitter feed that we try to give, you know, interesting stories and topics that pop up so that people can stay informed and on top of breaking news as it comes. Things that are, you know, of particular interest for our listeners and for people who are of a preparedness mindset. You can also catch us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page that has quite a few likes, and people are starting to gain some momentum, and we try to update that as much as we're able. And if you want to listen to our old shows and you're on the road and you don't have access, you can always go to iTunes and pick up our old shows there. It's another great way to stay in touch and listen to old shows, especially if there's topics that you want to share with family or friends who might have missed our broadcasts this morning. So there's a variety of ways to keep up with us, both online, on the web, and on the air. We're always looking for new topics and more information. And Aaron, I think that you had told me just this morning that you've got a special guest lined up for next week.
I'm working on getting a lady to come in from Divas in Defense, which is a self-defense it's a self-defense company where they teach women to defend themselves in emergency situations such as muggings, rapes, etc. But it could be a good thing to know during the apocalypse as well. So I'm trying to get them on.
That sounds really exciting. I know that we had had Mr. Matt Podowitz on a few months ago to talk about children and firearm safety. Firearms are kind of an intrinsic part of prepping. You know, if you've got all of these, you know, items that in an emergency people may decide they want to take them from you, and that's something else that, you know, self-defense and self-preservation and protecting your family today and in the future is something that's near and dear to my heart, and I know you as well. So I'm very excited about this prospect. I'm looking forward to talking to them this week and hopefully getting them on next week's show. And we're going to be talking about how to defend yourself and your family against, you know, any threat that may come your way. Folks, this has been a really great topic, and we appreciate when we get topics from online. Go ahead and email us. Let us know things that you'd like to hear about. If you have a topic that you would like to have answered on the air, we will sometimes bring people on the air with us to answer their topic live. So include your phone number then. Folks, this has been a great show. You're listening to News Talk 1160, the talk of the town. Tune in next week for another great episode of Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron.
You've been listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Aaron. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by True Prep. For all your prepping needs, visit True Prep online at truprep.com or visit a True Prep store in Roswell or Marietta. Tune in each week as Doug and Aaron get you ready for anything that comes your way. Ready Radio, Saturday mornings at 8, only on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.